Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address nsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
I will read a couple of scripture just for tonight as a general introduction to our visions retreat. I know that as we go ahead from tomorrow, God will be speaking very deliberately and He will give us very clear instructions on what to do, how to do it, where to move, and how to move into things. But tonight, we're reading few passages, but one of it, which will be in Isaiah chapter 43, we will begin from there, and I will draw your attention to a few issues before we come to now settle on the passage that God had asked us to look into very intently during this visions retreat. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 from verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. I am the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have shown, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Yes, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall hinder it, or who shall let it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I have sent to Babylon, and I have brought down all their nobles and their chariots, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariots and horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. These people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. I stop in that verse 21. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to read Isaiah 60, which will be our main text for these few days, verse 1 to verse 3 for this time, before we can go on. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Please, we'll stop at that point, for this point, before we go ahead. Now, before we begin again, I want you to follow me to the book of Luke, chapter 4. I'll read verse 1. I'll read verse 14. And then I'll read verse 18. If I can take that up to verse 21. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? and all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Let me worry you to read one more passage, just to set the panorama of our study, so that when we begin to draw issues, at least tonight, in a general introduction, you will have an understanding and a perspective. Go to the book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3. Now, verse 1. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to this man? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and which we have heard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stop at that tonight. We will have reasons to come back at this as we shall be understanding. When the day, when the sun rises on a man, what is his first responsibility? When the sun rises upon a man, what is his primary responsibility? In other words, What is our primary responsibility at a time like this? What is our primary responsibility or response at a time like this? As we have been praying for some days and weeks now, and not because we were just wishing that God will say something good about us or to us, and not that we are just such men who are prone unto speaking big and bogus things. We are not people that are incensed unto prophesying anyhow. Not that we would take it upon ourselves to look for some good things to declare. No. Even when we felt so inadequate as to want to reject or refract, as if to say, Lord, it cannot be us you are talking to. Maybe you are speaking to some great men somewhere. Repeatedly, God had continually declared by His Spirit that we have entered into a new day, and that the Son of His glory is rising upon us. And that even though it is not our ambition, neither is it our particular program to want to claim anything as of our own selves, or are we desiring particularly to become big or bogus, yet God has continuously spoken in diverse manners that the matter that we are entering into is of His own mercy, and it's because it is the time for Him to favor Zion. And so, what must be our primary response that will become our responsibility when the sun rises on a man's life? The first passage we read, Isaiah 43, I want you to go back to it, which I will just read first and ask you to please keep it at the back of your mind, because they are sure words. They are reliable words. They are words that did not come out of the mouth of God frivolously. God never speaks frivolously in any case. But I want to say again that particularly this passage is not coming out of the blues. God is speaking deliberately, and He is affirming it by Himself. Look, He said, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I pray that beyond what I'm saying now, there will be a witness in your spirit that you, particularly you are being created for His glory. I pray that it will dawn on you, not as a casual reading, not as a mere statement, that even you, having been called by His name, you were created for what? For His glory. There is a glory for which your life has been preserved. There are two issues I'm raising before you tonight, which I pray that will be clear. There is a way in which you may generally know, oh, I'm created for God's glory. I'm created for God's glory. There's a way in which you can generally know that. But you are not definite when that glory will break forth. You are not definite how that glory will come. You are not particular about in which manner will this glory break forth. So it remains like a general statement. Everyone is created for God's glory. But if that was the only issue, then we could have said, let's take it as a general statement that we were all created for God's glory. After all, everything that God has made, He made it for His glory. We could have said generally like that. But when God began to speak very specifically and said, arise and shine, for your light is what? Now listen, listen. When they use that scripture, for your light has come, or your light is come, what does that show you? What does that show you? Does it show you that there was a point at which your light has not come? So it will be presumptuous at that time to arise. It will be an empty boast to rise when your light has not come. And it is only right for any man, any woman who is humble enough never to lift himself up when God has not lifted him. All those who try to raise themselves up when God has not raised them, they have been brought back on their back. Because the Bible says, whosoever lifted up himself shall be abased. If anybody attempts to do something when heaven has not spoken about him, when God has not pointed at him, when God has not lifted him up, that person will be presumptuous. That person may only be responding to a motivational speaking as a psychology. But when we came to that scripture and said, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is what? Has risen upon you. Does that immediately point at a timing? Does it point at a timing? It's pointing at a time. It's pointing not at something that has always been. It's pointing not at something that has always been there. The scripture is pointing at a timing, at a specific space of time that was not there before. So those who knew you when your light has not come, they have an impression about you. Am I right? They know you before. They know what you used to be when your light has not come. Now, that is laying a first matter for me as I'm dealing with what should be my response. If to say this thing has always been there, then there is nothing new about it. Am I right? If it has always been like that, hey, what are you talking about? It has always been there. There's nothing new about it. And there should be no surprise about it. And there should be no fresh momentum about it, because it has always been there. But listen, there is a time in God's plan. And you know why I've been praying for several days and been saying, God, what are you saying about my life? What are you? Where are you taking us? And God began to specifically say the things that you have waited for. The things that you have waited for, the time for it has come. The things that I've been speaking concerning you that has always been in the future, the time for it has now come. The set time to favor Zion has come. Which means it has not always been there. Am I right? Which means it has not always happened. So it is not a regular issue. It is not something that is normal. It's not something that is a routine. It's not a routine. But now that is where the next issue comes. Because it has not always been there, there was something that has always been there. We have always been ordinary. We have always been mere. So even when the time for your light that has come, when it came, the first tendency is never to know it. Oh my God. Am I really communicating with you? The first tendency is what? Is never to know it. The first tendency is to continue as it used to be. And to carry yourself as you used to carry yourself. And to keep doing things as per your custom. Why is that a matter? It's because this new thing God is talking about has not always been there. So because it has not always been there, what has always been there has the tendency to overwhelm us and to constrain you to keep doing what has always been done in the way you have always done it. Oh, I hope you are with me. Are you with me? Now, I went away from this Isaiah 43, Isaiah 60. I went deliberately out of them, because I wanted to create a very quick illustration in Christ Jesus and in the apostles very quickly before we return. Can I do that? Now, when Jesus Christ was born, he was born miraculously. Was he born miraculously? He was. There was a star that appeared in the far east when he was born. There was a purpose that was declared when he was born. If, please listen carefully to me, if as soon as that happened in Bethlehem, if as soon as that took place, there was no need for Jesus to grow, if there was no need for Jesus to be trained, if there was no need for Jesus to develop in human experiences, if that same day that he was born and they saw the star, if that same day he stood up and began to manifest the power of God, what would have happened? Everybody would have known that, yeah, the mighty God is here. Am I right? If right from that day he just stood up and his 32 teeth just came out and he said, Mary, even though you gave birth to me, I am your Lord. And from this day forward, tell that fox, Herod, that his days are numbered. I, the King of Kings, I have arrived. Do you know what will have happened? Nobody will have been in doubt that a new thing has come. Am I right? But do you know, because by the wisdom of God, the time to be born for Jesus Christ is definite, is in prophecy. But the time for him to be manifested to Israel, the time for the outpouring, the time for the heavens to open upon him, is also definite and specified in the Word of God. And that was going to be 30 years after. May the Lord help you to follow me. These are very critical technical issues in order for you to understand where we stand. So in those 30 years, when it appeared as if the star they saw has entered into the clouds, when it appeared as if the prophetic over Jesus has entered into water, and he found himself just growing like anybody else, eating what they all ate, and playing on the street with everybody, and learning carpentry work. So, why in those 30 years, how did people take Jesus? Tell me, how did they take him? Ordinary son of Joseph. Abi? Carpenter's son. And do you know that it was possible that Jesus, who had a great destiny in God's plan, who was born miraculously, and whose name was a strange name, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. But for 30 years, all of that that was spoken concerning him were in the cooler. To the extent that many people got used to him being ordinary. They got used to him knocking nail and wood together as a carpenter. Even his brothers, those that were born after him, they soon forgot the miracle of his birth. Are you hearing me? If not Mary, that kept all these things in her heart. Did you hear what I'm saying? All that Mary had when she was to be pregnant, all that God told her, how she was going to deliver, all that she had when they brought Jesus to the temple to be dedicated after 40 days, all that they had when they took him to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, and he did something that was strange, and for another 18 years, nothing. If not for Mary, that kept those things in her heart. Let me ask you, what happened to everyone else? Eh? They forgot. They have forgotten that he's existing. They forgot the star. Even Herod, who was terrified when he was told of the miraculous way he was born and the star that appeared, that made him to kill all the young boys. Even himself, what has happened to him now? He has relaxed. He is no more threatened. He's no more worried. He's used to this Jesus who was a carpenter's son. Oh, may the Lord help me to make this clear to you. Because it is critical. The criticality of what we are dealing with tonight, if the Lord helps you to understand it, then we will have set a pace for understanding what we are entering into very, very soon. Permit me to be very gentle on this tonight, because it is important. So because of the time space that has elapsed, in which he appeared ordinary, except somebody like Mary that kept the thing in her heart and was wondering. And sometimes I imagine how she would be wondering. I say, well, the thing they told me when I was to be pregnant of this boy, the way they would say he will move, even the name they said I should call him, which I called him, is it in this carpenter shed that all this is going to happen? If he's just going to be a carpenter's son, why did I have to give birth to him like that? What exactly is going to go on? All his junior brothers, they got used to him. They just call him Jesus. Is it not Jesus? When they want to split wood, they call him. Say, Jesus, come and help us plane this wood. And he did all of that as though the divine destiny on his head, as though it was not going to happen again. If I'm trusting God for you to understand. Do you know that for some of us, what mobilized our lives? What brought us into the gospel? What made us to respond to God? Was a certain promise that God showed us that he was going to use us for. But as we stepped out, we did not anticipate that there was going to be silent years. My God, are you hearing me? We did not anticipate that there were going to be years of ordinariness. We did not anticipate that we will be doing discipleship that is just going to be like ordinary meeting, ordinary class, and going from one discipleship class to another. We did not think so. If you ask me, I thought that once we start, fire. And if fire had come, oh my God, nobody would have been in doubt of what God wanted to do. But because God also watches time. Hallelujah. And he does everything beautiful when at its own time. And that it is when the timing for a divine thing comes that God hasten it. Say, I the Lord will hasten it when? In its time. What appears like God's sluggishness, if there's a word like that, it's not because what he said and what he proposed to do will not come to pass, but time. So now, listen. And Jesus was in their midst like that for 30 years. When it remained some six months, John the Baptist, that was also born, and because he had been in the wilderness, everybody forgot him. They also forgot the miraculous way in which he was also conceived. Oh my God, am I communicating with you? They also forgot that as they were about to name this boy, the mouth of his father opened and he began to speak strange things. They forgot. Suddenly, the Bible said, and the word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. And suddenly, as if a new day opened for John, as it was in the wilderness until the day of his showing. And then when that day happened, suddenly John the Baptist came out. Said, I am the voice of him crying in the wilderness. Suddenly, when did you become that? How did you become that? Who told you? This passage has been in Isaiah chapter 40. Even before you were born. How did you suddenly start saying that now? But because the day of his showing to Israel has come. Once it started, what happened? Tell me what happened. Talk to me, what happened? Suddenly, people, how could somebody be shouting in the wilderness and everybody was running there? How can people leave the town and they are going to the bush? How can they go and be sitting on the bare floor or on the trees listening to a man who is not well dressed? To the extent that Jesus said, what did you go to the wilderness to see? You see a man that is dressed in such raiment? He said, men that are dressed in such raiment, they are in the king's palaces. What did you go into the wilderness to see? Is it a reed that is blown about here and there by wind? He said, no. You've gone to the wilderness to see a prophet, much more than a prophet. I don't know whether you are hearing me. So listen. Even though everybody got used to these people in their days when their light has not come. And the normal tendency was to continue to look at them with the eyes of the ordinary times. So the Lord began to announce. So the Bible said, when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been cast into prison, as if something stirred in his heart, the time has come. So may I say to you, even for Jesus, the time has not always been there. Hey. Am I confusing somebody here? The time has not always been there. There was a time that all he could wake up to do is to have his quiet time and go to this carpenter shed and be working and be nailing things together. And his father Joseph said, carry that one here. He will carry it. Do this. To the extent that even Joseph forgot how he was born and why he was born and for what purpose. I imagine that even Joseph had already settled that I have a good carpenter apprentice. I imagined that his junior brothers and his sisters, they only looked at him and said, that's our senior brother. And because the story of how he was born without the input of Joseph could not be understood by them, nobody even talked about it. Until that day. Listen, and I pray I can give you a vivid understanding. Do you know that Elizabeth and Mary, they were actually living in the same environment? Eh? Do you remember that Mary even went to stay with Elizabeth in the first 3 months of her pregnancy? Do you remember that? So do you remember that Jesus and John the Baptist, they were cousins and they were living in the same environment? And what was the testimony of John the Baptist? He said, I don't know him. My God, did you hear me? I don't know him. But he that told me to go and baptize told me that he will soon come. And that on whosoever I see the Holy Spirit descending and abiding, that is he.
So as I'm baptizing, I'm actually looking for him. What am I talking about? So can you imagine that John the Baptist knew Jesus as a cousin? And they related. He said, my cousin who is a carpenter's son. Because if John the Baptist knew that this is the Jesus, what do you think he could have been doing? Talk to me, please. But he didn't know. He himself did not even know the role he was to play until the day of his showing to Israel. And as he was baptizing, and many people are running there, people are running there, people are running there, people are running there, people are running there. He kept saying, now, the way these people are running, they are asking, are you the one to come? Are you the Messiah? And he kept saying, I am not. I am only sent before him. I am only sent. In fact, this baptism, I'm baptizing you people in the water. When he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I don't know him. I've not seen him yet. But they told me to be baptizing that as I'm doing this baptism, he will appear. Is it possible that because we are in our ordinary days, those whom God has anointed to turn over the whole of Benue State upside down for the glory of God, could it be that they are sitting here? We call them our cousin. And we treat them like that. We send them on useless errands. Because that's all we know about them. Why? Because their light has not come. Oh my God, am I communicating with you? Could we be sitting in discipleship class and we are so used unto our days of ordinariness? We are so used to the days of our ordinary emptiness to the point that nobody ever even asks you to sing a song because there's nothing. Is it not Sister? Is it not Sister Dorcas? We know Dorcas now. Because the light has not come. It was surprising that when the time came and Jesus left Nazareth and went to attend the baptism of John. Are you hearing me? And he was in that baptism. And he was standing in their midst. But John, being a prophet, was only prophesying that He stands in your midst. I don't know him. But he who told me to go baptizing said, on whosoever I see the Holy Spirit descending and abiding, it is he. Only for him to see Jesus stepping into his baptism. Am I communicating? And he said, what are you doing here? Are you here? No, it's not for you. We are dealing with vipers. You are my cousin. I know you. You are not a wayward man. And in fact, this baptism I'm doing, if it is like that, you are the one to have baptized me. And Jesus was saying, leave it for now. Suffer it will be so for now, for we must fulfill all righteousness. Something is about to happen, and this baptism is important for me to get into it, for something to happen. Even John the Baptist did not know what was going to happen. Only as he got him baptized, as he was bringing him up, something happened that has never happened before. The Bible said straight away, the heavens were opened to him. And the Holy Ghost, like a dove from the heavens, came and sat upon him. And a voice spoke, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Do you know that from that day, John the Baptist's understanding changed? Whenever he saw Jesus walking now, what did he say? "Behold, the Lamb of God." Let me ask you, what changed his name from Jesus the carpenter to the Lamb of God? It's the day, it's that day, the light that came. So let's first note, and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will help me to help you to understand that the day has broken. The light, he said, "Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." That is the first matter that we have to deal with if we are not going to waste this day. Let me go a little further, because these illustrations are very important for me tonight before I can come back on the issues, before I release you to pray. Do you know why that thing happened at Jordan? And they describe what took place. But in the book of John, they rendered it in a different form. But now, as soon as that thing took place, listen carefully, another person woke up, because the day has opened. Who is that? The devil. Eh? The devil. Immediately said, "Ah! I thought we killed him. I thought the whole issue is finished. I thought we have settled this case long ago. What? What did I hear?" And the prince of darkness, they quickly mobilized to tempt him. They say, "If you are what? Before now, what did they call him? Son of Joseph, the carpenter's son." It was not a threat even to the devil. Maybe the devil tempted him like he tempted any other young man who was growing up. But it was not with any particular interest. Because the time has not come. The day has not broken. But as soon as this happened, Abba, look at the temptations. "If you are the Son of God, command this to happen. If you are the Son of God, jump down. If you are the Son of God, take all this and just bow down." Why was the devil doing that? That for 40 days and 40 nights, he subjected this Jesus. Because the day has broken. And all those who understand what that day will do to the kingdom of darkness, they have started getting jittery. And they are saying, "What can we do to forestall it? What can we do to stop it? What can we do so that it does not manifest?" But before we draw that, when he returned, He returned in the power of the Holy Ghost. Did you remember that the Bible says, and he returned in the power. Hallelujah. He did not go in the power. How did he go? As a carpenter's son. But by the time he was returning, something has happened. When the day breaks, when the sun rises on a man, there is a suddenness. There is what I call what? A suddenness. A suddenness that could not be put into the regularity that had been on when the day has not broken. But because, unless we get to know this, because we were used to the ordinary days of our ordinary lives and ordinary times and ordinary things, we might discountenance the day that has opened and broken and continue to do ordinary things and begin to go ordinarily. I want to thank God that Jesus did not return to the carpenter's shed after that day. I don't know whether you are following me at all. I wanted to thank God that when the day came on Moses after that burning bush, he did not return unto what? Unto Jethro's sheep. It will no longer be correct for Moses after that burning bush encounter. When something happened to his life, when he caught a vision of God, and the rod he carried was transformed from ordinary wood to the rod of God, it would have been terrible if he went back with that flock. I'm telling you what would have happened. If he used that rod on the flock of Jethro, they will all become snake. Or they will all just roast alive. And if Jethro said, "What did you do? What did you do?" If he pointed that rod to him, he would have killed his father-in-law. Because he did not know the day of his own visitation. The first primary response and responsibility is first and foremost to know, to recognize your day. I'm looking at all the suddenness that happened in scriptures that is also going to begin to happen to us henceforth. There's going to be a suddenness. There's going to be something that you couldn't imagine that is beginning to happen. You're seeing a little glimpse of it. And it's looking and saying, well. No. It's not well. It's because a new day has been declared open for me, for you, for Tim Land, for Benue State. It's a new day. This vision retreat, God will help us to understand what to do at a day like this. And it's not what Brother Bile is going to do, but what each one of you is going to rise from here to do, because the day has broken. Hallelujah. Imagine that the series of experiences Jesus had immediately after that baptism, none of it happened in those 30 years. Praise the Lord. The The Bible said when he returned back to where he was brought up, he went to the church as his custom. Am I communicating with you now? And when he went to the church as the custom, it was their custom to give him second lesson to read. Oh, am I communicating with you? Why were they giving him second lesson to read? It's their custom. And they did not see anything. They thought it was the carpenter's son again, and he knows how to read. Let him come and read. And they gave him the book of Isaiah to read. And as he opened it to read, he fell into Isaiah 61. And suddenly as he was reading, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me. And as he was reading, to the people, what are they doing? What are they doing? Custom, normal service. To the people, what is he reading? Isaiah. And since that Isaiah had been there for hundreds of years, they have been reading it every time. So they were still sitting down there, hoping that their service will continue as it started. But something changed the meeting that morning. What changed the meeting that morning? Let somebody go back to that Luke 4. What changed the meeting that morning? I want you to discover it so that you will understand what is the primary responsibility. I've been begging God. I've been praying for myself. I've been praying for all of us here. I've been saying, God, there is one little primary responsibility that turns what could have been treated as ordinary, that will turn it to a mighty fire. But that little matter, that little responsibility, someone must understand it and respond to it. Look at it. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Up to this time, what was he doing? He was reading where? Is he the one who wrote Isaiah? Since when has the book of Isaiah been in the church library? For all the years. And as he closed the book and gave it again to the minister, are you hearing me? Now listen, that's where the matter is. If he had closed the book and closed his mouth and sat down as usual, let me ask you, what will have happened? Nothing will have happened. A spark of fire will have been quenched. A great move will have been scuttled. A revival will have been scattered. What could have turned the whole place around could have settled there and nothing would have happened. But now look at Jesus. Look at him. And I pray you can see him. He said, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They were just looking at him. There was a curiosity. But that curiosity will have ended. Huh? If he fizzled out into the congregation and sat down as normal. But look at the Bible. Can you see verse 21? And he began to do what? To say, this day. Excuse me. What's the meaning of that? This day. It has not been like that last year. For 18 years I've been attending this church. It has not been like that. And for 30 years that I've been growing up in this place, it has not been like that. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. Is there a day in which a scripture will be fulfilled in the midst of our people? Huh? Yeah. Is there a day when what we read in the scriptures, what we heard that God can do, is there a day when it will be confirmed in the midst of our people? Huh? I want to tell you that this day has come. I want to tell you that it has not been like that before, but now your light has come. So when Jesus took responsibility for the day, now I want you to see what happened immediately. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious word which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, look at what they said. What did they say? Is not this Joseph's son? Oh, who knows why they asked that question? That is what they know for 30 years. It's Joseph's son. How could Joseph's son be saying the prophecy that we have been believing God for since Isaiah wrote it? Oh my God, I don't know whether I'm communicating properly with you. Do you know that the people had great respect for Isaiah? Eh? And they took for granted the one about whom Isaiah wrote. Did you understand? They had great respect for the Isaiah that died. And they were saying, what Isaiah said. But what Isaiah said, this day, I see fine fulfillment. But now they have a problem. What's their problem? What's the first problem they have? Is this not? Do you know that it will happen to you? That people would say, is this not, when they are saying, is this not Joseph's son, what are they talking about? They are talking about who you used to be in their eyes in your ordinary days. They are talking about what we used to do in those quiet, silent years when God was only doing quiet work in our lives. To the extent that, in fact, some of them said, is this not Joseph's son? What is he talking about? And he said to them, this is what I'm talking about now. This is responsibility that Jesus was taking. And what did he do? Look at what he said. And he said to them, you will surely say to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have had done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. You will say that to me. I know. Why did Jesus assume that responsibility suddenly? Eh? Because it is time. His light has come. When John the Baptist took responsibility and said, I am the voice of him that cries in the wilderness. Repent, every one of you. Make straight the way of the Lord. When he took that responsibility, and those who we never have listened before, they started trooping from the town to where this man was staying and was speaking and was baptizing them. Am I communicating with you? Why did he do that? Because yesterday, it was just Zechariah's son who is living in the bush. When the day of his showing came, he took responsibility to do what? To stand up. May I say to you, some of you may think, and this is the first matter we are going to pray about today. You might think that if God has actually opened the way, and if the sun has risen upon my head, and if actually God, the day has opened, I want you to hear me. You may be saying, let God do something. How many of you are thinking like that? Let me see. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That is the way of irresponsibility that procrastinates divine manifestation. That is the way of unbelief that quenches sparks that could become great flames of revival. But I don't blame you for that. Can I tell you why I don't blame you for that? When the day has not broken, when the light has not come, when heaven has not declared and said, this day have I begotten you, what should every honest person do? They should wait for God. Huh? They should wait in the wilderness. They should not go and lift up a finger because God has not spoken. So, something about this unbelief is simply what we used to do when the day has not broken. We might be tempted to be doing it again. But now I want to tell you, I pray that I'm telling you something. Are you following? If you are not following, just wave your hand so that I can be sure that I'm out of page with you. But I'm praying that you will be in page with me tonight. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will help me to convey what is here. So look at the Bible. Once he stood up and said that, were miracles beginning to take place? Eh? Were demons beginning to cry? Did they cry like that last week? When he was passing, when he read the book last week, did anybody look at him in any special way? Why are they looking at him now? The time has come. Now, I want to now say, it is not God again that will push you. It is your now primary responsibility in faith to do what? To arise. When I say, arise, shine. Why? Why? Because your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Rise and shine. There's something that has come to me now. I don't know how to say it. But I can't sit down again. I can't sit down. I just know now. It's my time. I just know now. It's just so clear to me now that if I should sit down now, evil will come upon me. If I should sit down now and I don't do what I need to do now, with all the heavens that have opened, with the light that is already beaming on my life, I will have wasted a divine visitation and my generation will not pardon me. It's now clear to me that I have no alternative than to arise. I don't have anything else to do than to be responsible now. And as if whatever I stand up to ask God for now, heaven say, tell us anything you want, we are doing it. We are going to do it. If we don't see revival now, it will be my fault. If anything should be lost now, because I refuse to respond, to take responsibility, just to do the little thing I could do, that I'm supposed to do. And this time passes, and everybody, you know, they fasten their eyes on him, expecting something. Are you hearing me? They were expecting something. Even I went back and sat in carpenter's shed. And they look at him and say, are you back in the carpenter shed? The way you read Bible the other day, we thought you were going to say something. Some of us are expecting that something is about to break out when you open your mouth. But you went back to carpenter and you are doing this. They say, maybe we should look for another person. Maybe we should wait for another person. And his own chapter will have been closed. May it not happen. So once Jesus stood up and took that responsibility, and all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, some were filled with wrath. Some said, why is he talking like that? Why is he talking like that? Yet, at the same time, others were bringing their sick. And he was healing all of them. But last week, it was not like that. How many of you know that last month, 2 months ago, it's not like that? But from now on, a little shall become a thousand. A small one will become a great nation. I, the Lord, we do what? We hasten it in its time. Because it is time. That's why it will be happening. But if you went back and sat down back in your house as you used to, and you did not even as much as say, come, bring your Bible, I want us to pray, and you didn't even do that, it will die off as if the day has not opened. Now, what some of us misunderstood about the outburst of revival is that we used to think that everything about the move of God, are you hearing me, does not involve anything you have to do. Some of us never will remember that what became a mighty move and people are crying up and down is because somebody just carried guitar and started singing. Because the Holy Ghost has come. But then, when it came to the apostles, let's look at the apostles just for a few minutes. Did you remember the apostles? They were also waiting. They were praying. They were fasting. The Bible said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I was wondering, why did they use the word fully? It means that there is a time when the day of Pentecost has not fully come. Am I right? And when it has not fully come, nothing happened. When the day has not fully come, everything was quiet. So you see, the trouble is this. When the day has not come, everything is quiet, everything is ordinary, everything is normal, everything is like everything. But now look. When the day of Pentecost came, and the Holy Ghost came, and the disciples knew that, a new day has come upon us. Others said they were drunk, but they knew that we are not drunk, that this is not drunkenness. We are not drunk. We are not confused. Others said, don't mind them, they are drunk. Peter said, no, we are not drunk. This is the ninth hour of the day. We couldn't have been drunk this time. Excuse me. This is that. Listen. I just want you to listen. Just because somebody will take responsibility to know that this is not drunkenness. This is not what we used to be. This is what we have been waiting for. Only for him just to stand and say, this is that which the Lord spoke about. And he opened his mouth. Where did the scripture come? Where did all the knowledge that came, where did it come from? By the time it was finishing, the people were saying, so what do you want us to do? And he did not mince words. Repent, every one of you. And like a joke, 3,000 were coming out. And they were ready to baptize them that day. When they finished baptizing them, you will receive Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They expected the people to go home. They are not going home. They started coming for Bible study every day. You can't say, you know, before, when we organize meeting, people don't come. Why didn't they come before? Because the day has not opened. There's a great difference between yesterday and today, because yesterday, the day has not broken. The light has not come. The Pentecost day has not fully come. But today, it has come. And the difference between yesterday and today is like a world of difference. And what is the world of difference? Listen to me. Yesterday they were laughing at them. These brothers were hiding inside. Everybody was threatening them. But when the day of Pentecost came, they didn't do anything, only to say, we are not drunk. And as he opened his mouth, the Spirit of God took over. And 3,000. Yesterday we were minority. Today we are majority. Am I communicating with you? Yesterday we were ordinary people here. But today people are crying on us. What shall we do to be saved? What shall we do to be saved? And everybody is sitting down to a barbarian. What's happening? What's happening? Even when Jesus Christ was there, that was not recorded. Am I right? It wasn't recorded. And every day, they were breaking bread. They were teaching the word. They were praying. They were in fellowship. House to house. Last week, there was nothing like that. Does anybody expect that what we never saw last year is not a sign that we are not going to see something new this time? Is anybody with me like that? Yes, why not? What will be the difference? The day has come. The day has come. Praise the Lord. Be watching it all. Secondary schools, we will see things. Because some of you will just go and you just call your class. And they say, ah, what does he want to say? The last time when you wanted to do that, when the day has not broken, the boys were laughing. But now the day has broken. The boys will be in tears. They say, sir, we want to repent. We actually need to repent now. But if we don't take that responsibility, we are not likely to see it. Am I communicating with you? So when the brother said that, and can you imagine? They were just going for prayer meeting. And this man was looking at them. Let me ask you. Since when have they been bringing that man to the beautiful gate to beg for harm? Since when? Eh? Every day. They have been doing it for 40 years. And it's for 40 years the man has been begging for alms. And everybody knew that when you see him, he's begging for alms. But now I'm seeing something strange, which I want to point to you. That's why I read it. When Peter and is it Peter and John this time? When they were entering the same temple for to go and pray, the Bible said the man did what? Asked them for alms. And he fastened his eyes upon them as if to receive something from them. I don't know. May the Lord give you understanding. That some people, because of the light that is shining on you, they will begin to expect something from you. They will begin to look unto you. That's how they were looking unto you. They fastened their eyes on Jesus. But he did not allow their curiosity to perish. He said, this day. This man fasted his eyes upon Peter and John, hoping to receive something from them. Peter looked at the man, said, look at her, we don't have money, but we have something. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. He didn't say more than that. And suddenly, the man, the Bible says, his ankle bones and everything was released and strengthened, and he began to jump and limp and all of that. Even Brother Peter, are you hearing me? And John, they did not expect it. They were not expecting that. They were not going to do a miracle. They were just going to pray. But now this has happened. And just like that, people are looking at them, looking at them, looking at them. He said, no, why are you looking at us? This same Jesus. Before he finished, 5,000 came out and said, what shall we do to be saved? So when you saw the revival that broke forth, it's because they did just one little thing. They took a primary responsibility not to waste their day. So if the Holy Ghost is saying the day has broken, should I go and sleep as if the day has not broken? Should I return to the carpenter's shed and be cutting wood and nail? Talk to me. Should you go back and see the Lord has only made a noise for nothing? So tonight, our first primary responsibility is a response to believe on what God has said. There was nothing else that happened to them, whether with John the Baptist or with Jesus Christ, or with the apostles, or with anyone else who have experienced the power of God, except that when the Lord signaled to them that this is your day, what did they do? They just responded. Would there be people responding in this meeting? Eh? Would there be people say, Lord, this is what I've waited for. This is why I joined discipleship, actually. This is what I was longing that God would do when you said I should submit my life to discipleship. Now, Lord, it has come. Why will I not be part of it? What will I be occupied with again apart from what you are doing now?
And I want you to watch it all. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. What is beginning before your eyes here, when it overwhelms the whole nation, when it overwhelms the whole world, you will remember that, but, I was there when God made that declaration. Watch it all. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. What God has kept in store for all those who love Him. And the time for it is here. The Holy Ghost has come. The Comforter is here. What will be my response? My first response? To believe it. To declare it. To stand in it. I would like to pray with you now. I just feel I should do that tonight. And allow the Holy Spirit to confirm in your spirit that this is the time. Is there any confirmation in any of you knowing that God is speaking to you? Has God spoken to you? Eh? And you are sensing in your heart that a new season has come for you. Would you like to believe God for that? Let us rise as we pray together. Let us rise as we pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, Masata Yabakondo Roboshi. Itaka Sondo Roboshenda Mama. Lita Kazanda Yabakondo Roboskila. I'm not returning to the carpenter shed anymore. Moses could not return to Jethro's flock anymore. What he waited for 40 years has now happened overnight. Overnight. When he was going out that day, nobody expected. By the time he returned another man in the power of the Holy Ghost. And he only told Jethro, I am going. What had been impossible for 430 years, he went. And as he stood there, God did what he said he would do. Insight into God, insight into his word, visions that used to come and release great grace upon your life that seemed to dry. Now the day has broken. We restore to you double those things that the canker ones and the caterpillars ate up in your life in the name of Jesus. From this night, I release you. We release you into your inheritance now. You will walk into your newness. You walk into your fullness in the name of Jesus.